Here we are again with stories and stuff. This is Joy Bubbles, your story teller, story sharer. Sharer, that's a funny word to say. I never thought that when I started this Christmas of 1994, that 12 years later, I'd still be here doing this at a phone. It's almost as long as I've lived in this apartment. I've gone through a bunch of phone numbers, but still, it's been stories and stuff, and here we are. And to think it was on Christmas Day, Sunday of 1994, when my imaginary friend, Emily Friend, kind of gave me the idea to order it. I've had, she's one of my favorite imaginary friends. I have bunches of them, you know. Well, one day, a bunch of years ago, when I went to the playgroup at Orono, I mentioned that I had brought my imaginary friend with me, Emily Friend, to play with, too, my favorite one. And the little girl there named Sherilyn, oh, did she ever get excited. You have imaginary friend. Mommy, Joy Bubbles has imaginary friend. And let's tell him about Bumpo. Let's tell him about Bumpo and my adopting. Let's, Mommy. And as she got closer to Mommy, the Mommy's got louder and louder until the very last Mommy, when she was jumping up in Mommy's lap, was very loud. So they both came in the room to tell me and about Bumpo. B-U-M-P-O, Bumpo was his name, oh, she said. And that's his song. So, Mommy said, well, it was when I lived in California, and one day I decided to go visit a children's hospital. And they had a nice playroom there, and lots of books. And so I just picked up an armload of books and said, well, we'll just go through and I'll maybe read to some different kids for a while or something. And then you saw me. Yeah, I saw a room with a big bed and a little girl all alone in that big bed, and you just looked very sad. Sherilyn was in the hospital for HIV positive, skin problems, failure to thrive, head lice, and several other things that they were taking care of. And it was just one of those things. Roberta said, you know, instead of just spending a little time and hurrying off, I'm going to just spend the afternoon with this one little girl and, you know, be a friend to her for the afternoon. And so she had this stack of books. And before she knew what was happening, Sherilyn reached it. This one. She knew which one she wanted. And Roberta started to read to her a book called Madeline about in a house in Paris all covered with vines, 12 little girls and two straight lines, and the smallest one was Madeline. Well, if Sherilyn was here, she could do a lot better in quoting it. She could probably do the whole book. So then the second book, maybe you could guess what the second one was. It was the same one. You know, over and over is better and better. And the third, the fourth. Oh, you want to, why don't you hear a different one? There's so many good books here. This one, again. It was the same one, 8th, 10th. And maybe the 12th or 14th time after that, she wasn't even counting. She decided to be, somehow, she got an intuition that, hey, this little girl, I just got to be her mother. And it seemed so strange, you know, thinking, well, she probably had a mother of her own. But, little, you know, Sherilyn was feisty. About maybe the 10th or 11th time or something, Sherilyn's mother thought, she'll do a good trick. She hid the book way under the stack and said, now, do you want this one or this one with two different books? And Sherilyn just reached in and found the book she wanted and said, this one. And so she knew what she wanted. And so, yeah, maybe the 14th time she read. And then she went out and was talking to somebody at the hospital about Sherilyn. And it turned out, surprise, surprise, that she was available for adoption. The parents had given up their parental rights. They were people that just loved her a lot but really couldn't take care of a child. They had so many things going on in their lives that were hard to go through. Drugs and AIDS and being in and out of jail for different things. When she was first born, they loved her a lot, though. They named her Sherilyn, which they said is the legal name of the singer Cher. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they said, Cherilyn. And they named her that, so she'd be wealthy like Cher is. And also they bought a lottery ticket, so they would buy her all these things. They were going to win that night. They just knew they were because they bought it on Sherilyn's birthday. First birthday. Her zeroth birthday? Yeah, your first birthday. You're not 1 year old. You're 1 year old on your second birthday. How about that? Well, they bought this lottery ticket on the day she was born and were going to win millions, but they didn't. And they had lots of dreams for her, but they really weren't able to be there for her like parents should be. And the mother wrote a long, long letter, about 25 pages, talking about how she was sometimes the hardest thing to do when you love somebody is to let them go. And she's only doing this out of love, to let Sherilyn go and be raised where she can have the kind of life a little girl that sweet deserves. And she said, this is one of the very, very hardest things I've ever, ever done in my life. I love you. And Sherilyn still has a copy of that letter, and she has Mommy. She used to have Mommy read it to her and read it to her till she went to sleep. It was one of those things, one of the best parts of reading a story is the kind that you can fall asleep in the middle of. Well, after maybe 10 or 11 months of being a foster mother, sure enough, all the adoption stuff was worked out, lots of paperwork and talking to people and meetings and people coming to the house and all sorts of things, until one day there was a judge that signed some papers, and then Sherilyn had a new mommy. The funniest thing, though, is once the adoption was final like that, Sherilyn didn't call her Mommy. She called Roberta Mrs. Oh, I had a mommy before, you're Mrs. Oh, you know, that's all right. You've got a forever family now and a forever home here, and I love you so much, and, you know, I'll be whatever you need, you know, me to be. You're my one special little girl. And so they were one day found themselves on the way to a parenting meeting. It was way far across town, and they were going to go where Mommy would hear about all kinds of, you know, taking care of children, you know, a parenting person would tell her about that in one room with other mommies and daddies. And Sherilyn, I would go into the playroom, and there was two play ladies just for us, and we'd play and play. I could hardly wait. Well, naturally, driving that far, suddenly Sherilyn said what a lot of kids say when they're not saying, are we there yet? Mrs., I've got to make a great, great big pee-pee right now. So they found a potty, and they hit a gas station, and they were then on the way, starting on the way again to the meeting, when Sherilyn just started crying and crying and crying so hard, and her whole little self was into the crying. Mrs. said that she was crying so hard that if she hadn't have been fastened into the seat, she would have gone right up through the top of the van into the sky. It was such a hard cry. And she could hardly talk for a little while. What's the matter? What happened? And Sherilyn said, Mrs. Bumpo's gone. Bumpo's gone away, gone. He's lost, and I'll never see him again. And she was crying so hard. When Roberta said, well, you know, tell me, what happened? Where did he get lost? At the potty, and now he's gone. Well, we'll just go back there and find him. Maybe he's still there, around there. I don't think he could have walked too far in his big wooden shoes and everything, because Bumpo wore big shoes. Sherilyn was even surprised when, just out of the blue, before she had told me that, I said, oh, he has funny shoes. I just thought imaginary friend might, and I said it, and they're not funny. They're just his, and they're big and wooden. And, Mommy, he could see my imaginary friend. He can't see with his eyes, but he could see imaginary friends. And I said, well, actually, I can't, but Emily friend can. I can only see mine. But Emily, friend, my imaginary friend, can see yours, too. Yeah, and Bumpo can see Emily, friend, too. But I can't. So, imaginary friends are interesting things, aren't they? Well, Sherilyn said at that time on the way back that Bumpo, he's gone. So Mommy said, well, let's go back to that potty. And maybe, you know, he might still be there. It's too far. No, it isn't. As a matter of fact, I'm already turning around going, you know what? When I adopted you, Bumpo was your special friend. I adopted him, too. And I even got an extra copy that I've got at home. It's for Bumpo of the adoption papers. You did? Wow. And, you know, if wherever he got lost, I'd go anywhere in the world that he was. We would go and look for him because he's part of our forever family. I don't care if we had to take an airplane. So they got back to the potty, and suddenly Sherilyn started screaming so happy. He's here, he's here, he's here. He's scared. He's up at that pole, on that pole there, at that pole. And so she could barely get the belt unfastened. She was so excited. Mommy helped her, and she ran over to where Bumpo was and got him and brought him back. And they all had a great big hug, group hug. He's scared. He's so scared. Well, I would be too if I had got lost like that. And so they got him in the car, and he was sitting right on Sherilyn's lap. And Mommy said, you know, I can see him with my magic eyes. I don't see him with my regular eyes, but with my magic mother eyes, I could see him, and I knew that he was lost somewhere, and we would find him. You knew. I didn't think we'd ever find him. And they were starting to drive away, and Sherilyn suddenly said, Mommy, I love you. You found Bumpo. You went back 1,000 miles, and you found Bumpo. Well, I would have gone 1,000 miles. I think this was only about 12, maybe, but that's close enough. And, Mommy, I love you. And she reached up and hugged. And, you know, Mommy realized that this was the very, very first time that Sherilyn had called Roberta Mommy instead of Mrs. Mommy, you found Bumpo. You'd have gone all around the world and around it. Yes, I would have. I love you, Mommy. And Mommy made a discovery. Mommy found out that she couldn't drive and cry all at the same time. And luckily, there was a playground. And, want to come in here and play? Yeah! Because Mommy knew what was more important than a parenting meeting when she had turned around and gone back to the potty instead of continuing on to the meeting they had already registered and paid for. And so they went into the playground and hugged trees and laughed and cried and slid down slides and even slid up some of the slides and jumped off swings and on swings. And then Sherilyn saw a sandbox and ran over there and jumped right into a man's lap that was sitting there. I've been adopted! I've been adopted! I've been adopted! She screamed. And the man said, well, you know what? That is wonderful. And you know what? These three little young'uns here, all of them we've adopted. Wow! So they played in sand, and I think even some of the times they threw the sand, and they laughed, and they buried each other in the sand and played. And you know what? Legally, an adoption becomes final in a court. But this adoption became final right outside a gas station potty when Sherilyn first called Roberta Mommy, and she was adopted that day. And with the adoption, they actually celebrate still every year, the Finding Bumpo Day, and do real special things, like have a special cake for Bumpo and stuff. And Sherilyn usually eats Bumpo's part, too, because, you know. But I know how it feels to be adopted. You know what? Last year, the weekend of October 15th of 2005, we had a two-day adoption ceremony in I can't tell you how good it feels to be chosen by somebody. She could have chose anybody in the world, and she flew all the way across the ocean and chose me. So, Sherilyn, wherever you are, I've been adopted too. Well, next week there'll be another story, and stay strong, take care of each other, and do find some time to play. And if you had an imaginary friend when you were little, you know, I bet if you asked them to, they'd come back, and you could have lots and lots of fun. Maybe give you ideas when you need them. After all, Emily friend gave me the idea of stories and stuff, and 12 years later, we're still here. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone.